You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Welcome on back to the Boys of 161st Street. Another roll call episode for you today, but a pretty special roll call, I'd like to think. It's Mr. Aaron Judge today. Ever heard of him? Just inked a, what was the exact numbers of the contract? Again, I should have looked this up before, just for the intro. Aaron Judge.
9 years, contract.
9 years, $360 million. Thank you. So, quick question right off the bat. How many years of those contracts is he going to suck for?
How old is he? 31?
This is
he's got five good years.
His age 31 season, yes.
Okay. He's so got 4 to 5 good years.
The rest are just fluff. 3 good years at center field, right field, 1 hurt year, 2 productive years as a DH, and then the rest is a question mark. How's that fair?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I hope not, but I hope he has four or five productive years, and then I'd be really happy with that.
I mean, the way that now, I do you think right there was 4 productive years.
Do you think, side question, do you think the contract, more serious question, because I don't really care how many years he sucks for, because I honestly, if he's good for the first 4 years that we're signing, that's what we're signing for, that's what the Giants would have signed him for. That's what anyone would have signed Judge for, knowing that he's an older player. So we're going to talk less about the contract now, but actually kind of still about the contract. Do you think the contract will affect him in any way? And, and by that, I mean kind of, you know, more so, do you think he was playing so good because he was on a contract year? Because, you know, we were talking about it before last season, and it's like, you know, I didn't necessarily think he was going to break the single season home run record for people that didn't take steroids and hit 62 home runs and just have quite possibly one of the most dominant, and we talked about this in a prior episode, so go listen to every single episode from here till we started this thing, and you can find it. I don't know when it was, but he quite possibly had one of the most dominant offensive seasons that anybody has ever had when you compare, you know, the differences in the times and this, how fast pitchers throw now, the amount of pitches that people throw now, the fact that he only hits he faces many more starters or many more pitchers in general this year than other people in years past and baseball history have, because starters went longer, all those kinds of things. It was really interesting to look at, but just the, do you think at all that was caused by him being in a contract year, and how much of that do you think he has?
Not really. I mean, just based on his track record, he's got 3 or 4 top 4 MVP finishes. Like, I don't think he's going to replicate 62 home runs, but I think it's crazy to think that the whole thing was, like, tainted in some way because of a contract year or anything like that.
I'm not
like,
saying tainted.
This season, I know, but I'm just saying this year isn't, like, an outlier in terms of production. He's been a, you know, top 5 player in baseball for, 5, 6 years now, so I'm more worried about the back end of the contract than anything. I don't think his production's going to dip because of a contract or like pressure or anything like that. I think last year kind of proved that. It was his contract year. He came out in the first 2 weeks and kind of laid an egg. I think he didn't hit his first home run until like the 19th game or something like that. And rather than letting that weigh on him, which is pretty easy to do when you turn down $28 million a year, and he just turned around and put together, like you said, the best offensive season possibly in the history of the game. So that's as good of an indication as any.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to say that the contract didn't affect him at all. I mean, I think it's kind of ridiculous to say that that had no impact on the way he was playing, because he was obviously playing for his career. He was playing for a contract. He was playing to prove himself. There's no way you can just say that that had zero impact on the way he was playing. And like, I do think this was an outlier year. I mean, he had one of the best offensive seasons ever. And like the things that Luke mentioned, it could be regarded as the best offseason ever based off the recent changes.
I think you can argue that because of the contract situation, he could have played worse. You can make that same argument because, you know, right, all of the pressure of the opening day, forget about that. It feels like years and years and years ago, but opening day, he's like, all right, by the time Garrett Cole touches the mound, I want a contract signed, and then I'm not going to talk about it until the end of the season. And then pretty much, I'm going to test free agency if you don't sign me before opening day because I don't want to think about it. Now, I think he opened that door up a bunch of times because it's hard to close it, and I think the Yankees were being annoying about it and, like, still trying to talk to him. He probably told him to talk to his agent and let him handle it off the field, let him just worry about playing baseball. I bet it probably gave him a lot of sleepless nights. Not sleepless nights, but he totally felt confident about him getting a contract, but like, he bet on himself too, so maybe there were a lot of sleepless nights, because if he did get hurt in that year, he's not getting a $360 million year from anybody. He's going to get something pennies on the dollar, and obviously the bet paid off, and probably the best bet I've ever seen by any player in the history of anything in a contract year. But I think, honestly, you talk about this being an outlier year or something like that. It really wasn't, like you're saying, Chandler. He has been doing this for a long time. It's just been a matter of health and how many times have we heard. And I think this is the first roll call that we're going to talk about, Judge, where we're not going to say if he can only stay healthy, he's going to win an MVP. He just did that last year. He played 157 games, 148 the year before. So two season sample size of him playing every single day, pretty much. And that's every single day for a modern day player. Nobody really plays 162 this time. But I think you can make the legitimate argument that he performed that way under the highest pressure, because as an injury prone player in a contract year, betting on himself, I think that's kind of crazy if you think about it. So the ceiling might be higher than what we just saw. Obviously,
I disagree.
I don't mean that really, though.
About being injury prone, that he's not really injury prone. He had two freak injuries in that stretch, and outside of that, his rookie year, he played one. You said injury prone. Those were your exact words.
Well, I'm saying that's what, like, if you look on, you know, me and Damon were watching it together like last year. It's like you look on the MLB 100, top 100.
That's all they fucking say.
That's all they talk about. That was the narrative. And yes, he had a bunch of injuries. So I'm not calling him injury prone, but that was the thing that verbatim when they talked about on MLB top 100, they were like, if only he was outside the top 10, I think. And now he's probably like one or two, probably two, because they suck off Shohei Ohtani. But like, the reason everybody said, like, Harold or whatever the fuck his name is, was always like, you know, if he can only put together a healthy season, when he just did it the year before. Obviously, you want to see more than just a 2020 season and then that season of health, but now he's done that. So I think you can all but put those narratives to bed. We as Yankee fans know, like what you were about to say, we know there were freak injuries. We know he got hit in the wrist. So we know, you know, some of them are injuries, they're real injuries, like oblique and all that stuff. But I don't think, you know, we talk about Nestor Cortez, and I don't think he'll ever show me that he's not just going to be this random jackknife that I'm just not going to believe he's a legitimate pitcher, even though he is. And I do feel like he is, but it just, he's an odd guy. I think Judge has, hopefully, I don't know. I just think I just talked myself out of that. I still have my slight worries that he'll be injured this year. Obviously, you put two together. I mean, are you guys not worried at all that he's going to get injured this year?
Not really.
Well, I mean, it's hard not to be worried at all. But again, to Chandler's point, like, there are two freak things. I don't think that he's going to run to first base and break his leg and be out for the season. I think that if he does get hurt, it's going to be an unfortunate thing where he gets hit by a pitch or did something funky or dives for a ball and hurts himself that way again. So Obviously, we hope that doesn't happen, and that'd be terrible if it does. But I don't think there's no way to classify him as injury prone. I mean,
look at his career.
He's played over 100 games in every real season that actually happened.
But I mean, look at this. Like, okay, so discount, even if you don't want to discount the COVID year where there's 60 games, he played 28, so about half. And we knew going into it.
That's why I said doesn't
count. No, okay, so take that one out. He's got 5 years of real, true major league service time. 155, 112, 102. That was the wrist and the oblique. So there's one real injury there. And then 148, 157. Like, I can't sit here and say he's injury prone. Yes, I'm worried about every player getting injured because that's just the grind of 162 games. But I'm no more worried about Aaron Judge than I am Garrett Cole or fucking pick some Jose Trevino.
That's a big statement. I like that. I think I feel the same way, but there is that looming. Just I think it's just because the media has painted him as such an injury prone player that I can't get it out of my head. Like, that's the player that I know Aaron Judge to be because of like the basically propaganda that's been going on him. Like, we know he's really not, but I don't know. You can't really escape it sometimes. Speaking of people that didn't play in the World Baseball Classic because of injury. Do you think he didn't do that? Like, why didn't I was pissed that he didn't play because for two reasons. One, we lost because our pitching sucked. What do you mean? Why would you play?
I'm saying in his position. I mean, he just went an entire year, had the best season ever, came back, got a huge
play
contract.
For your fucking country, dude.
Just was named captain of the Yankees. He's probably focusing on the Yankees season.
All material things, Damon. He got his own bag. He got his own captain. Nothing for just the little man. Nothing for the little man. Just did for himself.
Can you imagine the conversation? Start the narrative. The conversation and the hate Aaron Judge would get if he went and played the World Baseball Classic after that just back and forth and all these conversations about the contract and the season and the free agency, getting the contract, becoming captain, having the best season ever, breaking the home run record, and then going to play the World Baseball Classic and getting injured and then not being able to play next season.
We just talked about we're not worried about the injury, so if that's not the case,
I'm sure that was running through his head making the decision.
I mean, yeah, I think when it's all said and done of all those things happening first and then getting hurt, that's a pretty...
He would be hated.
Yeah.
Against the World Baseball Classic. I had a hell of a time watching the whole thing. It's just, in his position particularly, not worth it. That's all right. I'm saying.
Damn it. You said he'd be hated? Question for you. How, coming off this contract, everything like that, how many games do you give it? Like, say he comes out in a funk like he did last year. How many games till people start saying that his contract's a bust and that he's terrible and boo him? Yeah, let's say he comes out and he's seeing 200 through the first week. When do people start booing him?
2 weeks.
I've said this before. Like, I think the booing narrative for a guy like Judge is really dependent on how the team's playing, and I think that's true for a lot of people who get booed. Like, if we're winning ball games,
contract.
I know, but he's also Aaron Judge. I think that if we're winning baseball games, it's going to take a little longer for us to boo him. But if we come out and we're a fucking 300 club through the first 2 weeks, I think he'll get booed. But on the flip side, if we have a booming start and he's doing below average than we expected, I don't think he's gonna get booed. I think that Yankees fans, they gravitate towards the winning, and I think that's the right way to think about it. I'm the same way. Like, if the team is doing well, I'm not gonna be mad at anybody unless they really blow a game or their name is IKF or Aaron Hicks.
Or
Josh Donaldson. So I think it's really dependent on how the season's going with the Yankees, especially because of his contract.
I think you're right about
that. Really quick, that I saw. I was scrolling through Fangraphs just to help like back up some of these Aaron Judge things. I'll let you go. I'm sorry. I just saw this and it made my eyes pop off the page. With runners in scoring position last year, Aaron Judge slashed 346, 520, 721. That's a 1.2 OPS. He had a 222 WRC+.
That's insane.
sorry, carry on. I just, that was so, I think that's worth interrupting. I apologize.
Yeah, no, it totally is. It's worth playing WBC too. We could have used that against Ohtani in the ninth inning there. Who knows? Maybe that match that everybody was talking about, which actually I'm not throwing shade at. That was pretty cool to watch Ohtani versus Ohtani. It should have been Judge. Ohtani versus Trout. But this isn't the...
It was so funny afterwards. You see the things where they're like, oh, can you imagine if they're on the same team, how good that team would be?
Yeah, that was so funny. Now only imagine if these two guys were on the same team. It is kind of crazy to me that like two of the best players in the world and they still suck.
And the Angels still suck. It's terrible.
The two best players on the two respective teams that were in the championship game of the World Baseball Classic were on the same team in a MLB game. Like it's insane.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, though, I mean, I'm done talking about the World Baseball Classic. I wish he played in there. Trey Turner's really cool. He should be a Yankee, but if he's not going to be a Yankee, then call up Anthony Volpe. Back to Judge. I do think, to finish the conversation that Damon was talking about, I think, I mean, Yankee fans booed Jeter. They boo everybody. I think getting this extra bag, Judge has always been the guy, and never really has been the guy, that made a lot of money. He was always making, you know, pre-arb and arbitration deals. You know, obviously it's still millions of dollars at the end of the arbitration deals, or closer to before he did free agency and all that stuff. But he's never been the guy that was like a Gerrit Cole or, you know, CC Sabathia, A-Rod, guys that carried around the narrative of a huge contract on the Yankees in a huge market. Now he has that, so now that's a what to watch for, I guess. Is like, how does he handle that? Which I doubt he handles it poorly. He's probably going to handle it like he handles everything, just with flying colors. He's great with them in the media. He's a captain now, so I think all that to say, Yankee fans are a little bit stupid sometimes. Not everybody, but some of you guys. And I wouldn't doubt that he gets boos after 2 weeks. And I do think, like you said, Damon, it has to be in a losing spell. If we go, like, I don't know, 2-10 to start the season and Judge is batting 200, he's going to get booed. There's not a doubt in my mind. And then we're going to be sitting here on the microphones talking about how could you boo a player who just hit 62 home runs, won MVP, and had the best offensive season we've ever seen. So, PSA, it's all Yankee fans listening. Don't boo Aaron Judge if he bats 200 and we're 2-10 to start the season. So,
yeah, that's not going to be good.
No, what position do you think he's going to be playing the most of? I mean, we were talking about him playing, or Boone talked about him playing, you know, left field to give Stanton a chance in right field, and that included Bader. Just a quick update, too, on Bader. We'll release this episode tomorrow, so we have more. It's more of a recent news, but Bader, better than anticipated injury update on Bader. At first, he was definitely going to miss opening day, but now Boone said he's doing better than anticipated and indicated that he would return shortly after opening day in under 2 weeks. So that's good news. Otherwise, you know, obviously, I think that would shift Judge back to center and put Cabrera in left, or Hicks is somewhere, hopefully not on the field, but hopefully in Trenton. But I think that would probably bring him back in the mix. But if Bader coming back, I think changes things. Obviously, Bader is not he is an injury-prone player. That we can all say. So him coming back, you know, maybe he's rushed. He's probably not going to be playing every single day. I think if Bader can just like play a pretty much full season, Judge will probably see the most time in left, and that also assuming Stanton and Bader are playing a lot, which is a lot to ask from two legitimate injury-prone players. So he could play. I think he's going to play even split throughout the outfield.
I don't think Stanton is going to play a whole lot in the outfield. I think even if he does, and even assuming a fully healthy season of Stanton, I think he'll only play two or three times. Like, probably only 2 weeks, 2 days a week, three max in the outfield. So, and especially coming down the stretch, if you have a lead in the division, which hopefully we will by that time, then he definitely won't be playing in the outfield. I think Stanton's cap in the outfield is like 50 games, 50 to 60 games. And that's in a perfect world. I would say Judge probably, if this Bader news is real, which I don't believe, I'll believe it when he's actually suited up in pinstripes. If the Bader news is real, then I would say he plays the majority of his games in right. But
I would prefer that. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The judge's chamber is for a reason. He played well in center. I don't know. I think he plays literally an even split. 25%, 25%, 25%, 25% in every outfield position in DH.
I don't.
Yeah. I mean, I'm confident that he can do all these positions and play all these positions. And if we are relying on a guy to go out there and be mixed around, then I'd rather him do it than anybody else, pretty much, is what I'm trying to get at.
That's fair.
I don't want Stan going from left and right, one day and then playing the fucking, yeah.
So his 2023 projections, and then we'll get out of here, for home runs, he's projected 45, 44 on Steamer. Projected 100.
Between 40 and 45, so.
Yeah, 150 games around he's projected. I think that's fair. Probably around that, I'd expect 44. I think that number from last year is probably even inflated a little bit because he was playing every single day down the stretch to get the home run record. So he played 157 last year. I think if he wasn't chasing the home run record, he probably would have played like 150. So I think that's a pretty fair assumption. The 45 home runs, I think that's a little light. I'd take the over on that. What do you think?
That's pretty fair. I think he'll hit around 40.
I mean, for his career, last year, 39 to then 62.
I think 44 is a good number.
27, yeah.
Give me 43. That's what he's going to hit this year.
I think he's going to get over 50.
Like, that's not going to happen.
Water bet?
Sure.
I'll take over 50.
It's a silly
one. What else? 278 batting average.
So I'll drink two waters to your one.
278 over.
I'll take the over 278.
There's no way he goes down fucking 40 points. I don't think that.
I'd hammer the over.
What did he finish last year?
311.
Dude, he's hitting like 380 this spring.
That was insane.
Not that spring training stats are everything, but you know, it's pretty.
168 WRC plus. Compared to his...
What's the reliability factor on these?
On these, the reliability is... It doesn't say it on Steamer. I can tell you his baseball reference one is 84%. And that assumes pretty similar stuff. That's pretty high. I mean, he's one of the higher reliability factors because there's a pretty good sample size with him, so...
I mean, yeah. I think his absolute floor is like 270 with like 30 home runs, and that's still a really fucking good player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope he comes to the bagel shop with Rizzo a couple times this season, and then I see him.
I hope he doesn't.
I don't think so. I think he's a little bit easier to pick out of a crowd.
I hope Rizzo keeps coming.
You say keeps coming like you see him all the time. It's like one time in passing.
It was really cool, though.
You would think listening to this show that Luke and Rizzo, like, they have their dogs play together and they go get bagels and cut up through the streets. But
yeah, I bring my cat on a leash out there to play with his dog and we just get bagels.
Every day.
We go to the park every single day. That's sick. Who wouldn't want to have this life? All right, that's Aaron Judge. Opening day soon, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right. See you then.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, We all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.